Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
One of the good guys and a great man, I think a future Hall of Famer. Mike Socia is with us here on the show. Skip, how you doing today, bud?
I'm good, guys. Out here in Compton, California with some high-energy young kids. It's beautiful.
Yeah, you know, Skip, tell us about this breakthrough series that you're working on out in Compton. I'm going to assume a lot of the kids are minorities, which I think is great. But what are you guys doing with these high school kids?
Well, they're all baseball players. That's what's important. We've got a great group of coaches out here. Eric Davis and Jerry Manuel and Chris Quinn and guys that been in the game for a long time and understand the game and just trying to get these kids. They all range from like 15 to 18 years old. They love the game of baseball. They're high energy. They're athletic. And what we're trying to do is just point them in the right direction about some of the fundamentals and things that can help them to reach their potential. But it's really exciting for me the major leagues are great and I haven't been down at this level before. But just to see the passion these kids have and how much they want to ask questions and soak up energy. It's fun.
Back to your roots, Mike. I mean, that's how you started. That's how Tiki
no
started.
Doubt. As we talked about, we never had these opportunities. When I graduated high school in 1976, so guys, I'm a dinosaur. but we never had opportunities like this, and you would have loved to have it.
Yeah.
I was talking with Eric Davis, and Eric saying if he had this, he grew up in L.A., and if he had this, he'd be at this field every day. He said, I'll just cut the grass just to be able to come out here and if you let me play. And
love it.
These kids understand the opportunity they have. There's probably 60 young athletes out here that are trying to get their way into Division I baseball or the draft, just make themselves the best baseball players they can. And it's a lot of fun, guys. I can't tell you how much fun it is.
It sounds it. We could tell the genuine enthusiasm in your voice. And I wanted to ask you this here, Mike. I think before we get to some issues in the modern game now and even reflect a little bit more on your great career, 13 years as a player, almost 20 years as a skipper, you won a World Series, couple of Manager of the Year award. You've done it all. My little guy's 4. We have a lot of parents that listen to the show with little boys and little girls, baseball and softball, or in both. And I think I'm doing it right because I played a lot of baseball. But I want to know if I'm missing anything here. With my little guy, I thought the most important thing, number one, make it fun. You got to make it fun. If you're not, you're doing the wrong thing. But from a sporting point of view, is to focus on his hand-eye. Short hops, spin the ball. You know, eventually he'll run, and if he's blessed with a good arm, and I think he is, but we'll find out. But I believe the best way to introduce a young kid to the sport of baseball is to learn to train the eyes. Am I on the right path here? If not, correct me.
Yeah, you're totally on the right path, and it's all the hand-eye coordination. I can go back to when I was a kid, and kids I played with, a lot of times you just go – in your backyard against the back of your house and a wall and against your driveway, even not even dirt on concrete, growing up, back east, and you would just throw the ball against the wall, work on your fielding, work on your short hops, work on your hand-eye coordination, and just picking up a wiffle ball and hitting it. I remember doing that when I was 5 years old with nobody, you doing it.
Self-hitting.
Yeah, all this stuff's important, and I think as a dad, the biggest lesson you're going to have to learn is get out of the way. I think that as dads, we want to really get into our kids' lives, and I went through the same thing. We have to get out of the way and let them play and just let them enjoy the sport of baseball and the lessons you get for baseball. And God forbid you have another thing, a travesty like you had happen in Colorado this week. You're talking about people yelling at a 13-year-old umpiring.
Yeah, we talked about that.
That's not what this whole experience is about. So you're right about making it fun. Baseball is a tough game to coach and to practice. And I know from experience that a lot of practices my son was in, that they go for 3 hours. and they're high-level kids, but they lose the interest. I don't know what you could do for 3 hours. With the Angels, we were 2.5 hours of spring training, high energy, got all our fundamentals in, and these guys were ready to go, and then they're done, and they're on to their extra work or whatever.
Yeah.
So if you're teaching your kids, you'll probably be involved as a coach in your son's little league.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing it now. I'm coaching tomorrow, Mike.
Good. You got to get high energy drills to keep the kids moving, and let the kids. And it shouldn't take more than an hour and 15 minutes for a baseball practice at that age.
Good stuff.
Let them come back wanting more. And now you're going to start to compete with basketball and with football and hockey and the natural speed of those games that the practice brings, where these kids are moving around. You have to infuse that into a baseball practice. So you've got to get around the horn drills going, cut off of relay drills, all-star relay drills, get some stations going. Get these kids moving so they understand the game and they'll start to gravitate towards the game, instead of having a three-hour practice where these kids are just you lose them after 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
that was phenomenal. That was very well done, Mike.
BT will take notes and actually do exactly that
tomorrow.
Skip.
Tiki, you're going to have to police this because you're probably around him a little more to make sure that he's
exactly. He's not going overboard yelling for
all
no reason.
All good intentions, Skip. All good intentions.
My advice: don't yell for no reason. Skip, let me ask you a hypothetical question. You won't have this issue with the Angels, but the Tampa Bay Rays have this issue. If ownership came to you and said, you know what, you're going to play half your games down in L.A. and the other half you're going to play up in Montana. What would you say? Like, is this feasible, the thought about playing half in St. Pete, the Tampa area, but St. Pete Peninsula, and then up in Montreal, Canada? Is that as wacky to you as it seems to us?
Well, first of all, as a manager, it's like, okay, wherever there's a game, we'll have the guys ready to play. That's your attitude. So if it came to that where you're playing half in one city and half in another city, so be it. It's obviously not ideal. But from the management perspective, I think you, or manager's perspective, I should say, and the coach's perspective, it's like, all right, guys, let's go, man. Let's get ready to play. Strap them up and play. From a fan's perspective, obviously it's a little bit different. I don't know. I haven't heard how far along the progress is of maybe that happening. Maybe you guys have a little more info than I do. But logistically, it'd be problematic at very least.
Yeah.
But like I said, from our end of it, as far as getting the guys ready and what you need to do, keep it focused. Hey, wherever there's a game, we have to get the guys ready.
Yeah, it's a unique plan. But to actually do that is what I said yesterday. I'm talking to Mike Socha, of course, here on Tiki and Tierney. I said, what happens if the Rays win 104 games, whether it's 5 years from now or 10, and this is their plan, and it's not a one-game wild card? What, are you going to play two games at the Trop, two games in Montana? It's wacky, but it's a step in the right direction to solve a serious issue, but I don't really see it come to fruition. It seems like a little bit too wacky. I did want to ask you this. I've never asked you this, because we've always talked about your team, the Angels, Trout, your team, pitching. What's going on? When you were playing, you came up when Fernando Valenzuela was coming up. And if you're old enough, that was 81, I think, when he came up. If you're old enough to strike season, to remember Fernando Mania with that nasty screwball. Usually we ask former players if you were a hitter, if you were a position player, who was the toughest guy you ever faced in the batter's box? But I want to ask you, who was the toughest guy to catch? Because I think you might say Fernando with the screwball, but maybe not. Who was the toughest guy you ever caught?
Well, I'm glad you're not asking me the batter's box, because then I have a laundry.
I hear you.
300 guys. That was a challenge. But as far as catching, Fernando was very easy to catch.
It was.
Fernando had such unbelievable control and command where, he could hit that outside corner, move it out 3 inches, move it out 3 more inches. Just uncanny command. He had the best stuff of any pitcher that I caught. There's no doubt about it.
Wow. Better than Hershiser. Better than Hershiser?
Yes, because he had more pitch selection than Oral. But what Oral did, I don't know if anybody did it better than Oral. He had that heavy sinker it was an inconsistent break. Sometimes it went straight down, sometimes it tailed. Uncanny movement on the ball with Oral. And he spun that ball incredibly well with an unbelievable breaking ball. He could move his sinker on both sides of the plate, had great command. He was a little tougher. He was tougher to catch than Fernando, definitely because of the unusual movement as far as the late movement. And what made it tough to hit also would make it tough to catch. Now, outside of a knuckleball pitcher in Tom Candiotti, it was like, you know, I'm trying to catch a
butterfly.
With
Caesars. Yeah.
I had a tough time with that. Jerry Royce was tough because he had an erratic cutter, which made him tough to hit, but also tough to catch.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all these things. But if you're going to Fernando, I don't know if I've ever seen a young pitcher come on the scene and dominate the way Fernando did, all the way through, not only through a season to get to the playoffs, but all the way through the playoffs and in the World Series. And it was just an incredible thing to be part of.
Yeah. Now, Skip, let's jump back real quick before we let you go here. With the Angels, Brad Ausmus has taken over. They're sitting at 500, 38-38 on the season. Some things to deal with, the pitching staff a little bit. Simmons has been hurt. Shohei Ohtani is just back a couple weeks, few weeks now. How do you assess or rate the job that Brad Ausmus is doing, obviously in your stead now, as the skip of the Angels?
Well, I really like Brad, first of all. He's got great baseball instincts, and I know he's going to be good. What's happening this year is kind of a rollover of where the organization was the last two or three years that we finished up there. The pitching is always an issue, and pitching is an issue with the Angels right now. They got a really dynamic offense, a deep offense with some great offensive players that are going to make some noise down the stretch. But the long and short of it is, if you're going to get to the playoffs, you're going to compete and contend. You need to pitch, and they're trying to make strides in that. They've got some young pitchers coming up, but that's what it's going to come down to. So until the pitching really gives these guys a chance to stay in games and swing the bats like they can, which they do have a really, really deep lineup. It's going to be tough for them to make the strides they need.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Mike, it was really good to have you back on. Hopefully, I know you're obviously very active. You have the diversity-focused breakthrough series out there in Compton, California. Roughly 60 high school baseball players and obviously getting instruction. You mentioned Eric Davis, who was a masher. He could run as well. I mean, he made some sick plays in the outfield yourself.
Oh, great player.
Yeah, he
great
was, player, man. Right. Although I remember when Ray Knight popped him at third base. Remember that? Remember that fight?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, the Mets and the Reds had a fight. Ray Knight was a Golden Glove boxer. And Eric Davis slid into – it's on YouTube. Eric Davis slid in, and he started talking trash. Ray just dropped his rollings, and he started popping them. It was a big-time fight.
Oh, my gosh.
But listen –
I'll tell you, he might be a Gold Glove, but I might take ED in that one. ED's a stud, man.
Yeah,
I hear you. Well, man, you've done it all. And just congratulations on an amazing career, classy career, 13 years as a player, a couple of the championships with the Dodgers, one in the top step of the dugout with the Angels back in 2002, a million wins, basically, a lot of hardware. And as I said, I want to reinforce this, a lot of class. You were always good to us. And we miss you around the game, but we're happy that you're doing well.
No, I'm great, guys. This is really fun doing this part of it, and I can't tell how much I'm enjoying it, but nice talking to you guys, and thanks a lot.
Be good, Skip.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.